Focus Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
So how about that hockey game last night?
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to this city.
What?
Last night?
Last night?
You got, well, let me finish a sentence.
Okay.
You hyped Beat teammates. On a Saturday night in April, down 3-2 with a back-to-back on the line. Now can I say that was the greatest night that's ever happened? Does that work for y'all?
I like being in charge of the controls here.
I like you in charge of the controls.
I'll give you a little bit of that, I guess.
I mean, it was so awesome, right? Down 3-1, huh?
Okay, we gotta get to that.
Your name's Adam Hoge. My name is Mark Carmen. He's Jared Payton. It's 720 WGN. I'm off to a roaring start over here. 312-981-7200. That was an unbelievable night of hockey. I think we should continue the momentum and build the momentum.
When they're down 3-1 and they should have been up 2-0, Desjardins misses the goal, the wide open net, and then the Blues score 3 in a row, and all of a sudden the Hawks are down 3-1.
No, didn't waver.
You didn't waver?
Didn't waver at
Mark
all.
Carmen, did you?
Enormous waver.
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, my thought at that point was whoever scores the next goal is going to win the game. Now, that being said, if the Blues had done it, I would have believed that I was right. When the Blackhawks did it, there was still some doubt. But you couldn't go – like, at that point, it's like you can't go down 4-1. Like, they really had no room left
for error. Have you been watching this series, though? Yeah. Whichever team is losing wins the game. So when it's 3-1, I think I tweeted something like, well, this is better. The Hawks are better off down 3-1 than up 3-1.
That's a lot of confidence
and
right there.
Rob Martire, Mr. Rob Martire, if you're out there, 312-981-7200, you might know a special number that you can call more directly.
He likes to be referred to as the great Rob Martire.
The great Rob Martire. I think he wrote back to me, quote, "No way, this team is a step slow. Full step slow. The Blackhawks completely doubted it." And what happened?
It's the first time that Rob Martire has ever been wrong.
And he's a hockey guy.
Listen, they came out the gate firing, and that's what you wanted to see. And I haven't been as nervous. Last night I was super nervous because I needed this win. Plus, I was telling my son all day long that the Hawks were going to win. He's like, "Dad, are they going to?" It was the question of the day. Are the Blackhawks going to win? And I was like, "Yes, they're going to win."
And you didn't want to lie to your son.
I didn't want to lie to him. He got to watch the first period, and he was kind of upset. He didn't want to go to sleep. I said, "Go to sleep, and it'll be all good in the morning."
It's a great job by you as a dad right there. And I also thought you did a great job on Twitter last night when you commented on you're seeing the next level. Because that was the next level for the Blackhawks last night. That was the first time, I think, in the entire playoffs that the Blackhawks actually looked like the Blackhawks. I mean, they had control of the puck. Their energy was crazy. It was a whole nother level. And we were waiting for it. We've been waiting for it, and we got it last night.
I said, if the Blues did not finish this series, St. Louis, early on, and it went to a Game 7, lights out, man. Blackhawks.
Well, we talked yesterday. Mark Carmen and I were out at the UC.
How was it? How was the atmosphere?
Oh, it was great yesterday. We had a great lineup of guests. Eddie O came down, Steve Conroy, Judd Surratt, Chris Hine, our guy. They were all there. The fans were all hyped up. Everyone was ready to go for the game. You knew the building was going to be insane.
Chris Hine was on the station again today with Dean Richards. Continue on, Adam.
Great point by you.
I just want to make sure. I just want everybody to know that Chris Hine was our guy first.
You took credit for him yesterday.
He allowed us, though. He was good with that.
Yeah.
We asked him yesterday, "Chris, you know, we discovered you in the city before." I mean, the Tribune did hire you.
Right. He was already working for the Chicago Tribune.
But as far as like radio stations and radio shows go,
we put you on.
The Beat had you first, and we saw the talent. We felt the talent, and we were, you know, we're like Atlantic Records to Ray Charles when they were grooming him.
Okay.
I think Sports Feed has had him on maybe more times than The Beat has.
Ooh. So,
really?
Just to let you know.
Is that like a trump card you just threw on top?
Just trying to say. He's one of the best in the biz.
But
I enjoy Chris Hine. Go ahead.
One thing we were all talking about yesterday was that the question was, did the Blues let the Hawks off the hook in Game 5? When they were dominating overtime, and it looked like the series was going to be over, and instead Patrick Kane does what Patrick Kane does, scores, Last night happens. Now they're going back to St. Louis, and I don't know a single person in the city that thinks the Hawks are going to lose, which, by the way, is not a really a good way to think.
How should you think?
That it's a hockey game and anything can happen. The puck can bounce any way.
Yeah, but who wants to live their life like that?
Go in thinking that.
No, I'm not talking about the players. I'm just talking about I love how this any fan base does this. So I don't want to single out Hawks fans here. But when they're losing 3-1 last night, all hell is breaking loose. Like the season's over and it's like, dude, these are the Blackhawks. This is what they do. They get their backs against the wall and they come back. But now that it's game 7, anything can happen. What happened in game 7 a couple years ago against the Kings?
They lost.
At home.
I know.
And all it took was a weird bounce off of Kruger's shoulder or Seabrook's shoulder, somebody's shoulder, and went in the back of the net, and they lost. And they probably would have gone on to win the Cup that year.
You're talking about the Western Conference Final. Wasn't that on the road? Was it Game 7 on the
road? No, that was at the UC. I was there.
Really?
No. For real?
Game 7 was at the UC.
Who were they were played, though? Who were they
2014?
Yeah, who were they played in?
Need a double check on that, Dan Long. Double check. My memory, I remember being in a bar.
I swear it was on the road because we would be doing something if.
I felt that was on the road there, Hogue.
You think so?
I'm super confident.
Text line. Someone needs a back. Am I imagining where I was?
Yeah,
I did cover some games in LA, but I thought that was the year before.
That's the true weird part of this. I know it was on the road. I was sitting there with Coach Ryan Marks of St. Francis University, and we hugged and went home.
Why are these lights blinding me every 10 seconds in here?
Because
has anyone noticed this?
Yes. Those are my TV lights.
Your TV lights. Yes. Do they do this during your TV show where they just blink at you?
They're just on blinding me most of the time.
Stay with us here.
Sorry. We are upstairs in our old studios today, which we love very much.
RIP the game.
I when I walked RIP, I feel a lot of emotion in the studio. This is Cap and Hot Land too.
All right, let's.
This was my seat.
That was your seat.
Well, once when I
feel like you sat over there more.
I got to fill in though a bunch.
Okay,
I like this seat better than my update seat. I think
you were better when you were behind the glass.
Then no.
312-981-7200.
That was Finford, man. Finford to the corner.
Finford to the corner. He was in that corner.
Yes, he was.
This is The Beat. Adam Hogue, Mark Carman, Jared Payton here with you till 6 o'clock today.
We have something special for you coming back after this quick timeout. There is history between the Blackhawks and Blues in a Game 7 that we've dug up. And trust me, you do want to hear this highlight because it will take you back and you're going to enjoy it.
Also, you don't want to go anywhere because we have a pair of tickets to the 2016 NFL Draft. Get you inside the Auditorium Theater during the first round this coming Thursday, April 28th. That's right, the draft is already here. It's this Thursday. We have a pair of tickets. These tickets are not easy to get, by the way.
No, not
at all. You enter a lottery, and the chances of winning, there are not many seats in there. So we have two of those seats for you Thursday night. We'll be giving them away on this show. We qualified two people on yesterday's show. We're going to qualify three more today, so keep listening, and we're going to give them away towards the end of the show. To those who have qualified, by the way, on April 28th through the 30th, Draft Town, presented by Oikos 000, invites families and fans to enjoy a free admission football festival in Grant Park, full of fun football activities, autograph sessions, and more. You can download the Fan Mobile Pass NFL Draft app for the latest information and a chance to win prizes. Chi-Town is Draft Town.
312-981-7200. Where is the confidence going into Game 7? Is Adam Hogue right that everybody in the whole planet thinks the Blackhawks are going to win? I'll bet you we could find someone call in right now who will throw a little bit of concern out there.
If I'm picking the game, I'm going to say the Hawks are winning. I just wouldn't go into this hey, the series is over.
It's not over.
It's not over at all.
Well, there is a game tomorrow night. The puck drops probably right about 7:42. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock.
You still have to play the game.
Yes.
You play to win the game. That's what we do here.
312-981-7200. This is the pre-game show 28 hours in advance of tomorrow night because really nothing else is existing before tonight in 7:42.
We're going pre again?
Pre, right
pre,
now.
Pre.
720 WGN. Seven twenty, WGN. It's on the hot key at home. There you go, my brother. This is WGN. This is The Beat, the home of your Chicago Blackhawks. Four game sevens the Blackhawks have played, y'all. May 29th, 2013. 2013, they beat the Detroit Red Wings. May 30th, 2015, beat the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. We got to turn Jared Payne's mic on, I think.
Sorry, we're having all kind of technical.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
We're trying to figure out. We're in a different studio today.
I get it.
And it's all right. We're okay. We'll get through it.
But the other two were at losses. Game 7 against Vancouver, April 26, 2011, and then the June 1st, 2014 versus the LA Kings.
Did we sort out where that game was played?
I don't know if we officially sorted
that out.
All
right, well, let's take a phone call here, and then I'm sorting it out for you, okay?
Right, yes.
312-981-7200. Tom, maybe Tom can help us out here. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You've been doing a great job on the Hawks. Thank you.
You got it, Tom.
I appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah, no, you guys have been fabulous. Yes, you were right. You were at the United Center against the LA Kings.
Thank you.
Game seven, and it was the overtime shot, I believe, by Martinez, the defenseman. I could be wrong on that, but it went off Nick Leddy and into the back of the net.
That's right, Leddy. It went off of Leddy. And also our guy Sam Panionovich texted me as well to confirm that. I thought I knew where I was that night, but, you know, sometimes in my life I think I'm places and I'm not.
I think it shows incredible confidence in me that I actually believed that I was correct and you were there and I had you on
right,
the ropes.
Right, you had me thinking I was somewhere else.
you guys were right. And then the only thing I want to say about tomorrow is the fact that the Hawks blitzkrieg down with five straight unanswered goals. That's like being down 10 points going into the fourth quarter and then coming back and winning by two touchdowns. I mean, they just absolutely let loose on them. So you got to feel like they've got the momentum now. But, you know, you're right. It's game seven. Anything can happen. So
that's true.
Well, one thing we talked about, thanks for the phone call, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Eddie O, who I trust maybe more than anybody when it comes to hockey, said on our show yesterday that he's a believer in momentum, and he does think it carries over from game to game, but it's all about what you do with it.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought the Hawks came out and did some good things with it yesterday.
Yeah.
And they should have been up 2-0, and it didn't happen. And then, but the thing about hockey more than any other sport is sometimes the puck just bounces wrong for you, and all of a sudden that momentum changes. It might not even be your fault.
You have to speak to one of the things that I saw last night, because I've been in that situation before where you're playing in a big-time game. Things aren't going your way. You go into halftime. And how do you come out of that, right? After the first period, they could have went in and been like, oh, man, what's going on? But when you have a core like the Blackhawks have and stars like they have, they came out in that second period on a full cylinders going. And that's what speaks volumes to me about a championship team with a championship mentality. You can't just get that anywhere. That's why this team is so much fun to watch.
Well, let's – first of all, to our last caller's point, you're talking about a St. Louis Blues team that's owned the Blackhawks at the United Center. They were going for their fourth win in a row last night, their fifth and sixth tries this year, correct? They're up 3-1. The Blues had won 35 of their last 36 playoff games. I'm not a math major, but 35 out of 36, that's a pretty strong percentage. 35 of 36 they had won when they had been up by two goals.
And the Hawks hadn't won all season down two goals after the first period.
So think about what – I mean, it was crazy what happened last night. Now to get to what you just said, JP, yeah, you're talking about the heart of a champion, but the guys that did it last night
– yeah, were –
I mean, my guy, the Weiser.
Well, the guys they traded for that I think, you know, the Hawks lose last night, and there's a lot of people probably calling in today criticizing Stan Bowman for the moves he made, because for the most part, these guys that the Hawks acquired haven't contributed all that much. But last night, they all contributed.
The Weiser was a scratch in game one.
That's your guy.
That is my guy.
You like the Weiser.
I love Weiser. It's like the Jeffersons out of nowhere. Dale Weiss, my guy. Weezy.
You gotta love Weezy.
Weezy was sitting game one, game two, game four.
Ladd showed up.
Dude, Ladd was huge last night. I mean, just Ponick was big last night too. It's just watching guys and the role players come up and play those positions, play their role. That's when you need them to. Then your stars would come in and fill them in just a little bit. Jonathan Toews last night. Come on, Taves.
Can I get my Weesey goal that made it 4-3? Can we hear from Weesey there, Dan Long? Because Weese, by the way,
get you a Weese jersey.
Weese, by the way, should have already been in the scorebook because he was the one who fed Desjardins early on.
Yes.
I mean, Desjardins killing my guy. Could add
was that
assist.
Puck on edge or was it not?
It was a little on edge. It was an on edge. There was some on edgeness.
Hey, doesn't matter now. The Hawks won anyway.
Can we pay off our tees on the last time there was Game 7?
Yeah, let's do that.
Dan Long, last time there was Game 7, it was 1990.
Between the Hawks and the Blues.
Last time the Blackhawks and Blues had played a Game 7 one time in their history. It was 1990. It was at the greatest place on earth, which would be Chicago Stadium. And the Blackhawks were up 2-0. And then a man by the name of Steve Larmer showed up.
Thank God radio audio quality's got better.
That's Pat Foley, the great Pat Foley. And yes, it sounds a little bit better with John Weidemann on the call. But there's been a Game 7 before, baby, and the Blackhawks beat Game 7 versus the Blues, and the Blackhawks won it, and Steve Larmer scored, and Pat Foley, even though it's not crystal clear, sounds as good as ever. And I recommend any Blackhawks fan, go to YouTube, watch that highlight, and just watch Chicago Stadium. I got goosebumps.
You love Chicago Stadium.
He does.
Everybody loves Chicago Stadium, the greatest place on earth.
Let's sneak Matt in here as well, 312-981-7200. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. I love the talk so far. I think Game 7 should be a good one tomorrow. You know, the stars have been showing up throughout the series, but you know, you look back at Games 3 and 4, and you got Richard Panik, who's been a healthy scratch most of the season, playing top-line minutes and not really getting any results. But then out of nowhere last night, like you guys said, you have a lot of role players coming up. So, you know, you're going to have your Canes, your Tazes, and your Tarasenkos make plays. But I think the difference is going to be you get some of that extra scoring from those bottom six and role players that you guys mentioned.
Good call. It's pretty incredible.
Thanks, Matt.
That you've made it to a Game 7 without a goal from Jonathan Toews. I mean, you're sitting there with the greatest player arguably in Blackhawks history and has not scored in the series, right?
Yeah. Now, in the last two games, he's done a lot more of the things that Johnny Toews does.
I mean, he's got five. All the hockey analytics, the Corsi and all that, he still is having a strong impact. He's got five assists, had two last night.
But let's be fair, early on in that series, he was getting tied up.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the same Johnny Toews. But the last two games, he's been great. And to your point, if he gets on the score sheet with a goal or two in Game 7, it's going to be tough for the Hawks to lose.
How about the Toews high five coming off the ice last night? The intensity, did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he does it every game, but last night was so awesome.
I'm just excited that the Blackhawks found a way to get underneath Brian Elliott's skin because he was causing me some hard times, man.
Dude,
he found
he's still
a way last night. I know.
I mean, he's still – I know he gave up a lot of goals last night, but he still has been pretty good.
He's been good, but last night they found a way.
Hey, get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. Need to take a break. We'll get to more of your phone calls. It's Hawks Talk. It's the pre-pre, right, Mark Carmen? Pre-pre for tomorrow already?
Pre-pre going down to St. Louis at 4:10 to taunt the Blues. Also, Chris Ravey,
our guy,
who does Blues pre and post and used to work here and now has like left Chicago completely and is rooting for the Blues in the series. We're going to crush him at 4:10, so stick around for that as well.
It's 720 WGN.
Anisimov over the Blues line. Drop pass Panarin to the right wing corner. Fires a shot. That hit Shattenkirk's stick, and he lost his stick behind the net. And now here's Panarin firing to the left
corner.
He shoots. He scores! Dale Weiss with his first Blackhawk goal. He snapped it into the top shelf past Elliott. Shattenkirk had lost his stick and could not defend. Panarin saw it and set up Weiss for the left circle. He snapped her home. It's 4-3 Hawks.
The confidence is the same in this group. It just doesn't change. You know, win, loss, it just doesn't matter. It's just kind of an even keel mentality in the locker room. Starts with the leadership group and kind of just carries on the whole room.
That's the great Dale Weiss, baby.
Mark Carmen's favorite hockey player of all time.
And yes, it may only be his first playoff goal with the Blackhawks, but it's his sixth playoff goal overall, as all us Dale Weiss fans know.
How many game winners does he have?
It's, well, since you asked, first of all, five of those goals came with the Montreal Canadiens, who, of course, he came over from the Canadiens on February the 26th, the history of Dale Weiss right here on 720 WGN. Two of those were overtime winners. Two were tiebreakers. One, a tying goal, and the other gave the Montreal Canadiens a 3-0 lead. Dale Weiss's teams are 5-0 in the playoffs when he scores a goal. So if we scores early tomorrow night,
money.
Pop the champagne. Let's live this dream. We're on to the second round. Weiss undefeated the Weiser. Hashtag Weiser. Yes, JP, you're looking at me like you're not buying into Dale Weiss the way you should be buying into Dale Weiss.
I'm buying into it. Listen, I am, but you're going in on him.
I am. I'm going big.
You are.
Well, because we had him early. When you predict that Weiss is going to come big and then he comes big, you got to – I mean, that, you know, now he just came through. You got to go next level.
My favorite part of that goal was that he leveled Shattenkirk.
Yeah. Right. He was knocked down beforehand.
He knocked his guy down, and that's why he was left unmarked right there and so wide open. He did all the work. It was impressive.
It's a great pass by Panarin, too.
Oh, yeah.
Who, by the way, wasn't on the Blackhawks last year either. I mean, guys that came through last night – let me ask you a question, both of you gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Because I've heard experts around the Blackhawks pronounce Richard Panik's name. Panik?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It took me 3 months to figure it out.
I don't think anybody knows.
It's Panik.
See, that's what I've been calling him.
No, it is Panik.
But I heard on the TV broadcast...
Panik.
I heard Chris Hine today. Panik.
How are you going to call out Chris Hine like that?
I think Chris Hine might be right.
We're trying to figure this out.
Doc was calling him Panik.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And so does Foley. This is a John Weideman question.
Maybe it was on an intermission that I heard a Panik dropped. Fine.
This is a John Weideman question.
John Weideman was on with Dean Richards earlier today, too. I don't believe Panik came up. I wasn't actually listening at that point. I had to attend a business. Regardless, the bottom line is they're getting contributions all over the place. I say, like what Q said, as far as all four lines going, they haven't had that all series long, and they had it last night.
Oh, best game of the series so far. So you want to see them keep it up. That's what it's game seven. This is what you play for.
312-981-7200, 720 WGN. You want to jump on in with who will be the key contributor in game seven, and where will you be tomorrow night at about 10:30 when the Blackhawks defeat the St. Louis Blues? I mean, I'm a big proponent of Wells Street. It does a nice job for a Blackhawks. There's a million different scenes. You guys probably are going to be at home because you're family people.
Yeah, we have kids.
I plan on being out and about. You got to watch Game 7 out.
No. I need to be at home. There's no lines for the bathroom. I can have as many beers as I want to. Keep it like that.
What are you going to do home?
Yeah, probably be at home. Yeah. Because I have a kid. We did go, I will say, we went out for the clincher last year. Good old Papa Hogue came over and babysat for the evening while Mommy and Daddy went out to
it's hard to do
nice
that.
Place in
Isn't
Edison
hard,
Park.
Hogue going out?
Oh, yeah.
Like, at that
That's why
time.
We saved it for the clincher.
Yeah, because you come home and Papa leaves and then you got to be up and be attentive. It's a tough
yes.
deal. You have no clue.
Especially this time of year, Mark, when the sun comes up earlier and the kids are all confused. They don't know what time it is.
I've been feeling the same confusion myself. Looking out my window, sun's bearing down on me.
I don't know if you guys saw, but after game five, my son had to go to sleep because it was a late start. So he was kind of upset, and he's a huge Patrick Kane fan.
Did he go to bed before the game started?
Before the game started.
Yeah,
he woke me up at 5 a.m. because he wanted to watch all the goals. And I didn't tell him that Kane scored the game winner, in the overtime winner, and he was pumped up
all day
doing the little Kaner after he scores. That's all he wants to do, man. Awesome.
Like the
yeah.
I don't know what you call it, yeah, but like the revving the engine or whatever he does.
I saw the video of young Peyton's son dominating on the soccer field.
And baseball.
JP's the only dad I know that goes music video He threw music on his.
He had music on there.
He had music on his kid's soccer action.
I have to, man. He said, "Dad, put some beats on there."
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Your son asked for tunes on there.
He loves tunes because he loves to watch them.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He's the only kid wearing blue blockers while he's playing baseball. I'm trying to tell him. I don't know, man. He's a different type of cat.
What are blue blockers?
Sunglasses.
Oh.
How's the little girl, by the way? We haven't talked to you since.
My daughter is doing great. Madison, Jordan, Peyton.
Congrats.
So, 2 weeks old tomorrow?
Yeah, if you're looking at Madison, if you're from Wisconsin, like my wife is, then they think of Madison, Wisconsin. If you're from Chicago, you think of Madhouse on Madison, Michael Jordan, and the last name speaks for itself.
You got it all covered. And I like all those things, too, because I went to college in Madison.
Is the middle name really for 23?
Yes.
That's Jordan. The greatest thing I've ever heard. I will sleep well tonight.
If I had a son, it was going to be Jordan Peyton.
You named your kid after Michael Jeffrey Jordan, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. That's a middle name. She got it after MJ. She sticks out her tongue all the time.
Oh, my God. That is so good.
I knew you would love that car.
I do. I'm jealous. But you know that Joel Quenneville has a Michael Jordan-esque 15-1 record in Game 6s? How can you be 15-1 in Game 6?
They're so good in elimination games.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Especially when it comes down to that bottom line, you got to win. It's
but
it's
this,
impressive.
I love how this team is constructed every year. You have like the 5 or 6 future Hall of Famers, which is ridiculous to think about, that are locked up forever, and then you have the rest of the roster changes every year. Those guys don't want to leave the Black. Everyone wants to play for the Hawks. So once you get here, you want to stay. Yeah, and you have to play as hard as you can all the time, especially this time of year. So you have the guys you know you can count on, and then all the guys last night that stepped up that weren't even on this team last year, they all want to score. They don't want the season to be over. And what it means is that every time this team's back is against the wall, they come through. That's why I never doubt them. Never doubt the Blackhawks.
Ponick to Trevor Van Riemsdyk for the game-tying goal. I mean, who predicted that? It's going to be Ponick to Van Riemer. That's what's going to happen, guys. We're going to tie it up. 3-3 after being down 3-1.
Can we not give any love to
who do you
TBR,
want?
Man? A little Trevor Van Riemsdyk last night?
Van Riemer was solid last night.
He was solid last
former
night.
Former beat guest this season.
On the defensive side, I mean, it was a beast.
We had Trevor Van Riemsdyk on.
We did.
You were on the show.
I was there?
Yeah.
Great interview.
Go back in the archives.
We did.
I'm going to hit that.
That was our show at the Blackhawk store.
Oh yeah,
the day of the the weekend of the outdoor game in Minnesota, which did not go well.
I've been wearing that jersey. Thank you, Blackhawk Store out in Old Orchard. I wore it to the United Center twice this week. Yes, I did.
Where have you been?
I'm right here, man. I'm right here.
Carmen's
for
in his own Mark Carmen world.
Just know that Adam Hoke, he has a podcast.
Intentional Grounding. Yes,
yeah, I do.
There's something that's going on with that podcast, I believe, around the NFL draft, too.
I like that.
There is. Well, first of all, tomorrow we're recording a brand new episode right here in this room, Studio A at 720 WGN. The Bears mock, well, no, it's the mock draft round table is what we're calling it. New episode of Intentional Grounding.
All right.
We're going to have Pat Finley in here.
Awesome.
Along, Adam Johns is always my co-host. Pat Finley, though, his colleague at the Sun-Times, and Eric Edholm from Yahoo. Coming
he's
in
awesome.
Here,
awesome.
He can kind of covers the whole league, and we are going to simulate the first round of the NFL draft.
Wow.
So you can look for that on WGNradio.com tomorrow. However, if you listened to our episode last week, just a few days ago actually, I gave you a code word in that episode to win, to qualify, I should say, NFL draft tickets. So one of our three qualifiers today is coming from Intentional Grounding. If you listen to it this week, you know that code word. And right now is the time to call in 312-981-7200. And you can qualify to win the pair of tickets to the 2016 NFL draft. Gets you inside the Auditorium Theater during the first round on Thursday, April 28th. You can call in right now, 312-981-7200. You must be available later on in this show. Probably around 5:30. That's when we're going to give those tickets away to the winner of our trivia contest.
On the outside shot that there is at least one person out there who did not listen to Intentional Grounding,
yes.
Would you like to give perhaps a hint as to what the word could be?
No, because it's not going to...
Okay. I'm just
trying to drive traffic. What are you doing?
Well, I understand that, but at this point, the traffic's already been driven or not. So, so I'm trying to help. I'm just trying to help out somebody who's listening right now. Just throw a little carrot out there. That's all I'm doing.
I mean, it would be nice,
but if you don't want to give,
it's a city in the United States of America.
There we go.
Where one of the top prospects in the draft played his college football.
Can you say that again, please? For
it's
those,
a city where one of the top prospects in the NFL draft this coming Thursday, he'll probably be selected first or second.
Okay.
I mean, we're really narrowing it down now.
We got two quarterbacks. Go ahead.
Okay.
Where he played his college football.
Where he played his college football.
312-981-7200.
I think somebody's got a shot out there with that clue.
I got a shot.
There's really, it's now I just gave you a 50-50 chance. We'll come back, we'll get our qualifier, and we have two more people to qualify to later on in the show, and then we're going to give away those tickets later on as well. A pair of tickets to the NFL draft, you can't get them anywhere else.
And that's outstanding. I'm going to be there, you're going to be there, JP's going to be there. It's going to be a big night out for the draft on Thursday night. It's going to be an awesome weekend, really. Roger Goodell's going to be, are you going to be flying around, by the way, on your... last year you were like in midair on
on the Walter Payton little exhibit. No, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything.
Okay. That was awesome last year.
Do we have the Walter Payton Man of the Year?
There's a Ferris wheel, though. We're allowed to go check that out on Wednesday. Have you ever been on a Ferris wheel?
Draft Town's super cool. it's a good time.
April 28th through the 30th, Draft Town presented by Oikos 000. Families and fans, you can go out there. Free admission. That's the best part. It's free. To the football festival in Grant Park, full of football activities, autograph sessions, and more. All right, this is The Beat. It's 720 WGN. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton. Plenty more to get to. We're with you till 6 o'clock right here on 720 WGN.
On the Hawks control. Then Riemsdyk behind the net. Spins it around up the far side. Not out. Kept in by Shattenkirk. Left point. Then he lost it. A long shot from the block. Line. They score! An empty net goal! And this will put it away! Marian Hossa swinging it from the Hawk line into the empty Blues net. It's 6-3 Hawks with 2:20 left on the clock. And the United Center is up for grabs. We're headed to Game 7.
I think that when we're down 3-1, we had nothing to lose, and the pressure was on them, and now it's even more. So it's a one game. I know that we've got momentum. That's where we're looking to go. Let's go in there, have some fun.
The Blackhawks. Boy, they are impressive when they turn it on. Judd Surratt told us when he was on with us yesterday on it, right here on The Beat. He said, Blackhawks have not shown their A game yet in this series.
Yeah, we asked him a question around, I think I asked him, do they look off to you? And he's like, well, I'll spin it and say that we haven't seen their A game.
We saw it last night for the last two periods. Hey, it's Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton with you here on The Beat till 6 o'clock. Before we went to the break, we told you that if you are an Intentional Grounding listener, our Bears podcast we do every week on WGNRadio.com, you have a chance to qualify for these NFL draft tickets we're giving away today. Ron, did you listen into Intentional Grounding this week?
I sure did this morning, actually. I follow you on Twitter, so it was a pretty easy listen.
I appreciate that, Ron. And do you know our code word?
Absolutely, Fargo.
It is Fargo.
Yes.
How about that, guys? Ron is qualified to win the pair of NFL draft tickets we are giving away later on in the show. So, Ron, we're going to call you back about 5:30, and you'll be one of five qualifiers. You got to know a little bit about these NFL draft prospects to win the tickets, all right?
Absolutely. Anything I need to study up on?
I would say, and we'll tell all the contestants the same thing. Just know your main prospects and our recent Bears draft picks as well.
Who's from Fargo, Ron?
Well, I know Grand Forks, but I can't remember Fargo.
Okay.
Well, I think Mark's asking you which prospect. Why was the code word Fargo? Which is a good point. We should have mentioned that.
I can't remember. I'm getting a little brain cramp right now.
Well, that is where Carson Wentz from North Dakota State.
Hello. I'm sorry. I'm still in college hockey mode.
That's all right.
I went to the Frozen Four, and I'm thinking
North Dakota. They won. They won, correct?
That was an incredible game. I mean, it was they did to Quinnipiac what the Blackhawks did to the Blues from the second period on. It was they just dominated. Like, they were the best team and just stifled.
Johnny Taves, alma mater.
Ron,
absolutely.
Ron, remember this moment in time, come 5:30. Carson Wentz, Fargo or North Dakota, that could help you. It's a chance.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Ron. We'll talk to you in a couple hours then. Ron, thanks for listening to Intentional Grounding. Tell your friends.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
And your enemies.
And your enemies. That's fine. Just tell anybody you talk to. Just start every conversation you ever have in life.
I always do. Have you listened to Adam Hoge's Intentional Grounding? It goes up every single week. It's one of the most in-depth dives into football that you can find anywhere on the World Wide Web.
He's so lying right now.
And there's a new episode tomorrow. And make sure you tell them that, too.
And there's a new episode tomorrow.
And you can get it on WGNRadio.com.
Patrick Finley's going to be on there. Eric Edholm's going to be on there. Adam Johns is always on there. And Adam Hoge leads that discussion.
Love it.
I do. All day.
And Jared Payton, too, has a podcast. Down and Distance.
Down and Distance.
Hit us up.
We're all about football love terms.
Yes.
We name all our podcasts.
We love
football terms.
That's with
Down and Distance, Intentional Grounding.
We're trying to get Carmon, but he wants like $500 an episode.
I don't blame him.
I just want some of that Jared Payton coffee.
We can get you some of that. That's free.
Some Payton coffee. That's all I'm looking for.
Get you that free. I know Hoge needs some because
I always need some.
His time is getting rough right now, man. He's getting back into work mode.
This is going to be a busy week.
It's the highlight for me every time I go into the Jewel and then I go down my aisle two and then I look to my left and there it is, just staring at me. Payton coffee all day. I see Starbucks. I see Dunkin' Donuts. I see Green Mountain. I go right towards Payton coffee.
So good.
And then I go to the checkout thing. Say, I'm friends with JP. He doesn't want me to pay for this.
Can I get the JP discount? It's free.
Can I show you my WGN ID?
Does that work?
Never.
No.
Does this get me anything?
312-981-7200. We have to take a break. After the 4 o'clock news,
this is going
to
be fun.
We talked to Chris Raby, who is basically a traitor. Is it fair?
No. Yeah, well, I mean, you got to pay the bills. He's got an opportunity, so you can't really fault him. But I texted him today, would you come on to give us the Blues, you know, angle on the whole deal?
His text back,
sure, can't wait to get harassed by you, which is exactly what's going on.
That's right. Chris Raby used to work here at WGN. He now does pre and post for the St. Louis Blues. He joins us after the 4 o'clock news. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
They raised their level a little bit in the second period. They were desperate. We didn't match it. They got that advantage. They got that fourth goal that got the lead, and then they were able to keep us pretty much on the outside. That's what you got to fight through. If you're going to win, you got to fight through that stuff. So it'll be a really interesting matchup in Game 7, but, I mean, it's been great hockey. It's going to be a great game again.
Well, speaking of desperate,
that is Ken Hitchcock, whose career behind the Blues bench is most certainly on the line tomorrow night. Blues lose this Game 7. Ken Hitchcock will be doing his Hitchcock act from somewhere else in the NHL.
And I'm still not sure that's the right call.
You love Ken Hitchcock?
He's a pretty good hockey team. But the guy we really should be asking about this is on the phone line right now.
Chris Raby works down in St. Louis for KMOX, Blues and Blues pre, Blues post, does work with that baseball team too, which is nauseating.
give me the pulse of Chicago. Let's talk White Sox. Take me inside the pulse of a first place team. Take me to Comiskey. What's going right for the Sox right now?
I'd be happy to, Chris.
Well, first of all, are we on like some Bluetooth Raby broadcasting device right now?
Yeah, what's going on, Raves?
What's wrong? Is my phone not working right?
Don't sound great, but you're still a very talented human being. I think we're going to let's reconnect with
it. I got you.
There we go. There's the Chris Raby we know and love.
What's up, fellas?
But yeah, the White Sox are now 13-6.
Wow. Final score from the South Side was Adam Hoge.
4-1. Greatest team of all time besides the 2016 Chicago Cubs.
Hey, Raby, who's in first place in the National League Central?
I'm a Chicago kid. I grow up rooting for the Chicago teams. I take a job. I get a great opportunity down in St. Louis.
And all it means is that I come onto the radio and I just get abused by Mark Klarman. I just get raked over the coals by Mark Klarman.
Well, I never, this was not the original plan, but when I saw you last October at Wrigley Field and you had your St. Louis Cardinals hat on. And,
all right, hang on.
Yeah?
Can I set the record straight? I'm sitting at Cubs Cardinals in the playoffs last year, and we're in like the auxiliary media box down the left-field line at Wrigley Field. And Carmen texts me, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? So he comes up to that area. It was a professional setting. Everyone was sitting there, like, covering the game, watching the game. Carmen comes up. You're basically in beer vendor status. And you come up, and you're like, let's go, Cubbies. You literally come into, like, the media area, and you start cheering. You're acting like a baboon. Like, it was embarrassing.
It sounds completely believable, by the way.
First of all, okay, the media area was the last section in the upper deck of the left corner. And the people that were in the media area were Chris Raby and, like, all of Comcast Sportsnet, who were either, A, rooting hard against the Cubs, like Ryan McGuffey, or were pulling hard for him. It wasn't like some professional environment. And I was at the game, for the record, as a fan. I was doing the hunt.
Yeah, you were slanging old styles, and I believe that right behind us, Pedro Gomez from ESPN, he was embarrassed by your display of showmanship. He was truly embarrassed, and I was too, Carmen. So let's just say, you know, I keep it professional, I keep it 100, and not all of us are Chicago honks like you.
This was not really what happened, just for the record. I said to Raby,
that was exactly what happened.
I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going to believe Raby.
I'm
going to
believe
one.
Him, too.
I go, Raby, you're rooting for the Cubs, right? You grew up here. And he's like, dude, I want to see the Cardinals in the World Series. I'm like, that's it. I cannot. I was like, all right, I can't sit here anymore. I have to leave. And you, it's okay. There's been, you know, bigger turn of events in the world, and now you're rooting for the Blues. I'm sure you want to see the Blues in the second round, don't you, Raby?
I'd love to see it. What a series it's been so far. And you know, it's funny how the psychology of sports works, because I think that if you told Blues fans before this series, or even a week ago, you know, we'll drop the puck at St. Louis for game 7 on Monday night with a coin flip, you know, 60 minutes, winner moves on to the second round, I'm sure people would have been thrilled. But because you had a 3-1 lead, and because we've kind of seen this story before, everyone is now losing their collective minds. So kind of funny how that works and how the psychology works. I don't think the players think like that. It's been a very resilient bunch, but certainly, you know, I think fans are lining up along the bridge, and you know, I hope that I don't have to pull any off on my way to the rink tomorrow morning.
Well, listen, Raby, I'm gonna kind of be a little bit different than Carm. I'm happy that you're filling your pockets with a little bit more green. So do whatever you got to do to make sure that you got more money in your pocket. It's expensive out there, but the Blackhawks, man, we talked about it before you came on. This is the best game that they played all series, and you just seem now with, you know, Coach Q having to shift and shuffle these lines around. They've really found some balance in all four lines.
Yeah, JP, first of all, you're my guy. And, you know, it's unbelievable what Joel Quenneville has done. And we've seen it over the last few years that the Blackhawks have been able to adapt and advance. And it doesn't seem like anything phases them. I mean, you see them in game 5 with their backs against the wall, in game 6 with their backs against the wall. And they've done a really, really good job of matching whatever the Blues bring to the table and moving forward. And I think last night, especially in that second period, when they were at their most desperate, you saw them, like you said, you know, change lines, move things up, whether it was moving Kane with Taves and Andrew Shaw on that top line, whether it was a second period adjustment you saw to give with Panarin and Anisimov and Teravainen. I mean, he was just really, really good at adjusting to the moment. So, yeah, they've done that, and they've certainly earned it. And here we go. You know, I wonder what kind of adjustments they have in store for Game 7. Certainly the Blues have the last change, and they have the upper hand of being at home. But, yeah, I expect another test match tomorrow night.
He's Chris Raby. He does Blues pre and post down in St. Louis.
Former Chicagoan.
Former Chicagoan? Aren't you always a Chicagoan?
He's a former Chicagoan.
Former Chicago. All right, all right.
It's
unfair. Okay, we started this segment with Ken Hitchcock's comments from last night after the game. Is he really coaching for his job here in Game 7?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
100%. And, you know, he's been unbelievable over the course of the regular season, three straight or whatever it is, 100-point seasons. But, you know, that kind of slips off my mind because who cares about that? Like, you can have whatever regular season success you want to have, guys, but when it comes down to it, you got to win in the postseason. And they haven't done that. The last 3 years have been an embarrassment of failure in the postseason. You were up 2-0 in 2013 to the Kings. You lose that series 4-2. You were up 2-0 to the Blackhawks in 2014. You lose that series in 2014. You lose last year to the Minnesota Wild. I mean, at some point, enough is enough. And if you don't win the series and you don't advance out of this, you know, tomorrow night, then something's got to change. So, yeah, you know, you've had a ton of success. You've got, you know, three or four, whatever it is, 100-point seasons, but people forget about that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you need to advance out of the playoffs, and if you don't, that's how you're judged. I would expect not only Ken Hitchcock to be fired if they lose tomorrow night, but the general manager, Doug Armstrong, I would expect to be fired tomorrow if they lose, and I would expect some pretty significant roster turnover. But you never know what a difference 60 minutes can make. And if they win, then, you know, I think a lot of people agree, both in Chicago and in St. Louis, that the winner of this series could pretty much walk to the Stanley Cup Finals. So who knows? If they do end up winning tomorrow night and they get this monkey off their back, then things could be much different.
Raby, last one for you. Vladimir Tarasenko, it seems like all of St. Louis. You don't want me to ask him this question? Because he's got the worst cell phone.
The worst cell phone in the history of radio.
Raby, channel all your power because it's been going in and out. Sometimes you sound amazing like you're in the room. Sometimes you sound like you're in a cave. But we're going to give you one more question here on the way out. Tarasenko's not playing enough minutes according to everyone in St. Louis. They want more time on the ice, and Ken Hitchcock won't give it to him. Do you agree, disagree, and will Tarasenko be given a 25 to 30 minute, whatever, call it 20 to 25 minute night, a la what Patrick Kane, what Jonathan Toews will get tomorrow night, or will he still be in that 17 realm and St. Louis will continue to blame Ken Hitchcock for his choices?
Well, I apologize for my cell phone, and I'm going to go put up a blog post right now. Tarasenko doesn't get enough minutes, and Ken Hitchcock won't give it to him. Quote Mark Carmen. Certainly when you're not winning games and your best players are not playing, then that leaves a lot to be desired. I know that when he's in the 16, 17 minute mark, when he goes an entire power play without playing, then certainly that raises some eyebrows. I don't read too much into it. I think that it's just over the course of a game. It's over the course of what happens. Certainly there are questions to be raised. Nobody was raising these questions after games three and games four when you won in Chicago. So, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I would expect them to maybe get a little more aggressive with him. Maybe you'll see some of the double shifting like you've seen with 88 and 19 down the stretch of games. But, yeah, I don't read too much into it. I don't think there's anything to it. I don't think there's an issue or a rift or any of that. But, yeah, he's your most dynamic player. And I know fans, at the very least, would love to see him on the ice as much as possible.
You put Tarasenko in a Twitter search, and you see St. Louis fans melting down. It's kind of enjoyable. I highly recommend.
By the way, great job with the phone connection on the last.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, guys,
it was a lot better.
I walked over to the window and I'm doing my best. You know, it's game seven. We got to dig deep. We got to go shift to shift. We got to answer the bell.
Got to bring your best.
I'm just trying. I'm trying, boys.
If you'd like to troll Chris Raby on Twitter, you can do that at, @CHRABE, former Chicagoan Chris Raby, doing great work for the St. Louis Blues at St. Louis Cardinals down to Camo X, but he's left us high and dry.
Thank you, Chris.
Carmen, keep it up. I would look for. I mean, maybe you could bring your talents down to St. Louis tomorrow night. We could see you slinging an old style in the 300 level at Scott Trade Center.
I'm on my way. I want to sleep on your couch like I did in Memphis. One of the great moments of my career.
You got it. Goodbye, boys.
See you, Chris. Chris Raby.
Why you got
former Chicagoan?
Don't do that.
It's already done. It's already done.
I feel like that's the worst thing you could ever say to me. So I feel like that's like.
Oh, so you're taking it on?
I would be upset.
I mean, technically he is. I mean, he lives in St. Louis.
He's a former.
He gets paid in St. Louis. He plays Missouri. He pays Missouri income tax.
He's a former Chicagoan.
What? Went to Kansas City and Houston. Were you a former Chicagoan?
If you had
Mr. Royal.
Well, yeah. See,
you love the Royals.
I had the benefit at that time of, you know, when I was with the Royals, that's an American League team.
All right, we got to take a break. We're way late. We may have to talk about this, though.
We could talk about it all you want.
Okay.
I represented the city in that interview. That's what I did.
Fair you guys, maybe, that's what you do. Represent Chi-Town.
Maybe you guys are uncomfortable.
It's 720 WGN. Hey, I would just like to point out who the best pitcher in Chicago is.
Jake Arrieta.
Adam Hogue's going to have a different take than that.
No, I'm not. It's Jake Arrieta. I'm not going to be that crazy.
But statistically...
And who would be the guy, if you were to challenge that argument, who would you say it would be?
John Lester.
Get out of here. Oh, Chris Sale. Come on. Let's have a rational discussion here.
Why does it have to be rational? I'm so sick of being rational. Yes, you're right. Chris Sale's been incredible this year, by the way.
Chris Sale's very good. However...
Here comes
Matt
Latos.
According to the numbers, this won't hold, but Matt Latos' numbers are better than Jake Arrieta's. And that is with today. By the way, Matt Latos gave up one run in six innings today, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
His ERA, however, went from 0.49 to 0.79.
0.74. You upped him 0.05.
0.74. Fine. That's still better than Jake Arrieta's 0.87.
Matt Latos was awful in spring training.
Horrendous.
Matt Latos looked like a complete flyer gone wrong. Matt Latos is 4-0. Just to back up your point here, Adam, for your Chicago White Sox, he's 4-0, 24 and a third innings, 13 hits. Less than one hit per inning is a good stat. So 24 and a third to 13, that's phenomenal. He's given up all of two earned runs all season. He's walked seven, struck out 13. He's got an ERA of 0.74. The best pitcher in the city, Matt Latos. Brought to you by Adam Hogue, courtesy of 720 WGN.
Absolutely.
Look at the smile on his face.
Hey, by the way, I see this tweet right now from @Brian Billick, which is not the Brian Billick we know.
Not the former head football coach of the Baltimore Ravens?
No. Damn.
I'm continuing the conversation.
Oh, this is okay. He writes for @FutureSox, which is a White Sox website.
Okay.
Anyway, this is a quote from Robin Ventura, who was asked if, said Danks will start on Thursday in Baltimore because he's getting pushed back. I don't know if you saw this. White Sox called somebody up to pitch tomorrow in Toronto. Danks will pitch on Thursday in Baltimore. He was asked if that will be his last start. Robin Ventura's response was, that's to be determined.
Well.
So John Danks is already getting pushed back here, and his future is very much in doubt, I would say, and rightfully so.
Yeah, John Danks on the year, you're talking about three games.
Oof, not good.
Yeah, you're talking about, I like John Danks before I continue to just point out the numbers here. But they're ugly. He's 0-3, 17 and a third innings, 19 hits, ERA by far the worst on the team of 6.23.
I actually thought that'd be worse.
Well,
but it's still not good.
No, and well, 6.23 is worse when you consider how well the White Sox have been playing defense.
All right, we got one more baseball coming up. We got to get a check of news. This is The Beat. It's 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good day for baseball in this city. The Cubbies win. You hate that word. Sorry.
I don't hate it,
The Cubs.
I think that we should move on from Cubbies to Cubs.
Yes, I agree with you.
Little more mature, a little more angry. Cubbies is too cuddly. It's too 1984, 2000. The Cubbies. Cubbies won by the...
I've heard you say it a couple times.
I know. I haven't cured myself. I got a stat for you on the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
Coming into today's game, if you go back 81 games... The Chicago Cubs, 58-23. Now, why is that significant? And I got this from the great Pat Hughes.
Because that would be 116 wins.
Yeah, that's half the season. That's 81 games from now until last July.
Okay.
So they've played 58-23 baseball, 116 wins, which is crazy. By far the best in baseball.
What's the record that the Mariners set?
116.
That's what it was? Okay.
All right.
Cubby.
Bludgeoning teams. 9-0.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they've been crushing teams.
It's been
without Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. Joe Maddon is doing one thing that I don't like.
Uh-oh.
What is that?
Fire Joe Maddon.
What is that?
He's using two of his relievers more than he should. Travis Wood seems to pitch every single day. You're up 9-0 today. Why does Travis Wood have to be in the game? I don't really understand the answer to that myself. You can throw anyone. I mean, Travis Wood...
When's the last time he pitched?
I'll give you... Travis Wood has been in nine... let's see here. Travis Wood. His game... Travis Wood, first of all, he pitched in the first four games of the season. Or the fourth, the fifth, the seventh, the eighth. Then he pitched the 14th, the 16th, the 18th, the 19th. Now, he hadn't pitched. Okay, today makes sense because he hadn't pitched since the 19th.
Okay, because that's the only way that would have made sense.
Right.
But if he needed the work.
But he still used him. Like, he pitched him on the 16th. They're up 5-0 on the 18th. He uses him. Then he uses him the 19th. It's the biggest nitpick of all time.
You're doing well when that's your only problem.
Searching for something.
I love Joe Maddon. Let me be very clear here. I think he's the absolute perfect manager for the Chicago Cubs. I trust him on everything he does, and I'm buying that $30 T-shirt.
Which one?
Try not to suck, which is banned in St. Louis, which is so lame. You see that? Oh, he's got it on. He's wearing it.
That's awesome. Did you see that? Oh, I'm wearing it.
That's cool that you've got it.
Hey, in the interest of being consistent, since you're nitpicking the best manager in baseball, probably.
You can make that argument. Go ahead.
What are your thoughts on Robin Ventura so far? Because this is what the people that say managers don't matter.
They do matter.
They go, well, do you give them all the credit when you're winning? So are the White Sox winning right now, and they're 13-6? Are they winning because of Robin Ventura?
He's a part of it.
Or are they winning in spite of him? Because I have a couple, and I don't think this is nitpicking. I don't know if you saw the game against the Angels the other day, the one they lost.
No.
The Angels get their third run in the top of the ninth inning. With a runner at third, they try a suicide squeeze, and it's fouled off. And by the way, Steve Stone called the suicide squeeze in the booth.
Wow.
And I know Steve Stone's a brilliant baseball mind, and he gets paid to say those things and see them coming up in the booth. But so does your manager. Okay, so maybe if it surprises you once, big deal. Mike Socha's a pretty good manager, too, on the other side, in that other dugout. So now the count's 0-1. They didn't pitch out. And what happened on the next pitch? They executed a suicide squeeze. One pitch after they just tried it. How do you not pitch out in that situation? I mean, that's unbelievable to me that the White Sox allowed that to happen in that situation. And that's on two people. That's on the manager first and foremost. It's also on Zach Duke, who was on the mound. And you gotta be able to see that coming. Now, granted, he's a left-hander and the runner's behind him.
I always felt like when you looked at that clubhouse, the majority of the guys on that White Sox roster, they want to win for Robin. That's how I feel. I would say most guys are behind him than...
Well, no one argued that he was losing the locker room. I don't think that was the argument at any... At least it wasn't for me.
Okay.
My problem has been in-game decisions. And it really bothers me when other people in other places write columns and say things on the radio and on TV that the manager doesn't matter. When Robin Ventura was specifically, you could point to specific instances. He won one game in April last year. He did challenge an easy call in the ninth inning. And they lost that game to the Tigers. So there's moments like that. Now, I also understand when they say not everything is in control of the manager. I completely agree with that. I mean, you don't have to be a baseball expert to know that.
It's not even just it's just baseball. It applies to all sports.
The reality coming into the season that if the White Sox were 6-13 and not 13-6, the heat would have been huge on Robin.
Oh, absolutely.
Huge.
So, and if they fall apart here at some point, the heat will be turned up again.
He deserves credit for them winning. But I'm just saying it hasn't been perfect from the manager's standpoint. There have been questionable moves, and that one was just like, if everyone sitting at home and in the stands knows that they're going to try a suicide squeeze and you let it happen on two straight pitches and it happened successfully, come on.
So crazy.
See, I think the manager matters, but I also think there's only like a handful of guys in the game that actually make a noticeable difference. Like, to me, Joe Maddon makes a difference.
Yeah.
Certain, you know, Buck Showalter makes a difference. When Tony La Russa was doing it, he made a difference.
But I think on the flip end, there's also five guys on the back end that make a difference in a negative way.
And
make bad decisions.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And Robin, I mean, my biggest issue with Robin is, do you want to be here or do you not want to be here?
I think we're over that part now.
Are we?
You really think so?
I mean, it's the fifth year. If he didn't want to be here, he wouldn't be here. The guy hasn't won. They blew the division his first season, and they've been awful for three straight years. If you don't want to be here, he'd be gone. He would say bye-bye.
I guess that's fair. I'd still like
if he's still sticking around after all that, he wants to be here.
Paychecks are pretty nice, though. You know, just to
he shouldn't need the money, though.
Man, but still, we all listen.
Something to do. It just doesn't seem like
that's his personality, though, isn't it?
I know
he's
it
just kind of laid back and just chilled out all the time. That's how I see it.
I mean, I'd like to be buddies with Robin. I'd like to, you know, chill with Rob.
If you're in his inner circle, he's probably a cool dude to kick it with, have a beer with.
A text from a 773 says, I'll take Robin over Coop as manager. I think Ricky Renteria would be the one promoted.
Yes.
You're not going to make Don Cooper the manager, but
no.
I'll take Don Cooper as far as handling the media over Robin every single day. Don Cooper is fun to listen to. He's a crazy person. You're giving me a look.
Because he can be cranky.
Yeah, that's fine. Give me some crank. I don't mind a little crank.
Hey, Robin's had some moments here. Radio veteran with his cell phone on in the middle of the show.
I tell you what, my phone is possessed. This is a possessed phone.
It's the phone's fault.
He can't get over it.
I literally turned it off. You saw me turn it off.
I know. I actually
I'm telling
did.
You, this thing is. I cannot get a break with. I won't even.
Don't
get involved.
Say it.
I won't get involved. Go ahead.
I was going to say Robin has had some funny lines this year. He's had a couple.
He's got a great dry wit. I give
he
you that.
He does.
He has a very good dry wit. But listening to, I guess it's a little unfair because Joe Maddon is just so entertaining. So that kind of brings it out. And the guy before him in Ozzy also was so entertaining. So it's just kind of a letdown.
All right, we got to take a break. We have a special guest coming up next. Before we do that, though, right now is a chance to qualify for those NFL draft tickets. We're taking a qualifier right now. We have a pair of tickets to Thursday's NFL draft at the Auditorium Theater. This is not a chance. This is just a qualifier right now. But 312-981-7200. Call in right now. You'll qualify for those pair of tickets that we are giving away in our final hour of today's show. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Back here on The Beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton here with you today. 720 WGN going to 6 o'clock. And we got a special guest on the phone line right now. His name is Charlie Stilitano. Welcome to the program, Charlie.
Thanks, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Really well, thanks. Really well. Well.
Charlie's here to tell us about a big soccer game that's coming up here at Soldier Field in July. It's Bayern Munich versus AC Milan.
Yeah, it's part of the International Champions Cup. These are two of the most, highly decorated teams in the world. They've won the equivalent of the Super Bowl between them at European Champions Cup. Milan's won it 7 times, and Bayern Munich's won it 5 times. And Bayern Munich's in the semifinals now of this year's Champions Cup. And it's really, really, this is soccer royalty coming on the 27th of July to Soldier Field.
Charlie, when you look at when the World Cup was here, what is it, 94 back in the day?
Yep.
To now, and knowing that, you know, football is still king and we have all these other sports, and for myself playing soccer and playing overseas, I had a chance to really see what it's like over there. How have you seen just the growth from back in the 90s to now with soccer and people with the internet are being able to follow these teams and just the fanfare once they come over here to play?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I was the venue executive director for Giant Stadium, the old Giant Stadium in 94. And, you know, we weren't even sure that we were going to fill up for the World Cup. Everyone was panicked that we were going to make a mess of it. Really not organizationally, but would people actually come? And it's still the largest spectator World Cup ever, probably because we have these great NFL stadia. But it's really changed. It's incredible. Look, nothing's going to usurp the NFL, Major League Baseball. We have major sports here for a long, long time. But, you know, it's really changed the attitude and really the understanding more than anything else. I mean, you're one of the people who grew up playing and playing in Europe, and you saw the games. Now,
I think we just lost Charlie, who is the co-founder and chairman of Relevant Sports. The match is coming up on July the 27th at Soldier Field.
He was just getting into the meat of my answering my question.
Well, and we may, do we have him, we could try him back? Dan Long is checking back in with him to see if he's there.
It's totally different when you look at where the game was back in the day to where we are now.
By the way, Charlie is the co-founder and chairman of Relevant Sports, and he, as he mentioned, he was the venue executive director for the FIFA World Cup in 1994. And following that World Cup, he was the vice president and general manager of the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars of Major League Soccer. And I think we have Charlie back with us right now. Charlie, you there?
Yep, sorry about that.
No worries.
Strange, fellas. I could hear you, but no, I was saying that it's really changed. It's not going to usurp football anytime soon or baseball, as I was saying. But, you know, it's such a difference. The kids, it's not just the internet. I mean, the kids watch the games on TV this morning. I'm sure the ratings for Leicester City versus Swansea were through the roof, because this is probably the greatest story ever in sports. This is a 5,000-to-1 shot, Leicester City winning in the Premier League this year. And all the kids, they watch it, you know, whether it's NBC or BN or Fox, ESPN. I mean, everyone's watching these games now, and kids are familiar with it. The other funny thing is the FIFA game. Right? That's every kid knows every player because of that game. It's right up there with Madden football. And it's really, really, it's changed so much in 20 years. It's just hard to even explain.
Yeah, my niece, Grace Carmen's dominating on the soccer field. Jarrett's son is already crushing it. Adam's getting, you know, how old is James? 2 years old?
He's almost two. He kicks his basketball around.
That's so cool. It's
nice. Nice.
One of the big news stories out of the soccer world recently, Charlie, was the United States women's team looking for equal pay. What was your thought about that? Because I think it's hard to be against what the women's national team is looking for.
No, I'm 100% for it. I mean, I really think that it's, candidly, I think it's reprehensible that the women are being treated like they are. I mean, I can't pretend I know every detail, but what I do know, it seems that they're justified in their complaints. I mean, you know, this is America. I used to say when I ran the World Cup in New York, welcome to the United States, where men are men and women win the World Cup. I mean, you know, they're just amazing. Our women are the best in the world. And then on top of that, you know, they have the Olympics, which we don't really have in soccer as a big deal, right? Because it's an under 23 tournament. But the women's Olympics, it's equivalent of another World Cup, really. And so, you know, they set the standard for soccer in the world. They're bringing in a lot of money to the to U.S. soccer. And I think they should be compensated fairly. It's really that simple.
Well, Charlie, we thank you for coming on. It's the International Champions Cup, Bayern Munich versus AC Milan. It's July 27th at Soldier Field. Charlie, how can people get tickets?
Just go to internationalchampionscup.com and you can get your tickets. Tickets are it's really selling well right now. We expect that to be a sellout like last year with Man United and PSG. So go get your tickets.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks.
All right. Charlie Stilitano. From Relevant Sports, the former vice president, general manager of the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars of the MLS. And you can be a part of that historic event between Bayern Munich and AC Milan as one of Europe's fiercest rivalries comes to Soldier Field as part of the Audi Football Summit.
We didn't talk about that much on the show at any point, but the fact that the United States women's national team makes less than the men's team is completely and utterly ridiculous because you're talking about one of them's winning titles and one of them's dying to get to the quarterfinals and just not happening. And
the women's game is killing it.
Killing it.
They're the reason why the soccer push here in the U.S. is so big. We just had Kristen Press on Sports Feed, and just to see her and what she does, unbelievable.
Well, and you guys are making great points.
But
one of them's bringing in more money than the other, and that's just the counter argument that needs to be put out there on the table.
Men play. I only watch the women play, so I'm tuning in to watch the women play.
I'm just bringing up the counter argument that's out there as people have this discussion in that conversation. That's what it is.
Well, the only reason why the men are bringing in more though is because there's more matches. It's the same. It was also crazy. We didn't talk about it much on the show. You know, Novak Djokovic in tennis. Men want to get paid more. Are you nuts?
Click.
Serena, who's showing up on videos with my girl Rihanna.
We got to talk about that.
We do?
Yeah, that would lemonade. Oof.
Lemonade?
Okay, yeah. You guys need to fill me in on this because I was so lost on Twitter when I started seeing hashtag lemonade.
I saw it. It was.
I'm like, what is going on here?
Beyonce dropped a visual for her album last night on HBO.
Oh,
it was an hour special.
Okay.
And Serena Williams made a cameo. And
got it.
Yeah.
Got
when
it.
Life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
Hey, thanks to, or congrats, I should say. Thank you, too, though. But congratulations to Mike and Palatine, our fourth qualifier for the NFL draft tickets. We still have one more qualifier. One more qualifier. We will do that in the final hour. We will also give those tickets away in the final hour.
And before we go to breaker, we should mention that Steph Curry will not return today in the Golden State Warrior-Houston Rockets game as it looked like there was a wet spot on the floor. He slipped extremely awkwardly, landed on his right knee, which is now sprained, and will not be returning. Golden State does not need Steph Curry as they lead the Houston Rockets 105-82. We're not doing any NBA playoff talk around here because
who cares?
The Chicago Bulls are not in the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's huge. I mean, if Steph Curry is hurt,
right.
And he's already hurt. He already missed two games in the series, correct?
Right.
And he's back, and now he gets hurt again. And this is a knee.
Didn't look good.
Also, Minnesota Wild were losing 4-0 to the Dallas Stars for our hockey audience. And we know that there's a ton of you Hawks fans out there. The Wild were losing 4-0 in Game 6. It's now 5-4 Dallas. So the Wild are still losing, but they've come almost all the way back, and there's 2 minutes left in the third. So we will keep you posted on that one as the Wild are on the brink of elimination in the playoffs.
Yeah, and scores from earlier today, the Capitals beat the Flyers 1-0. So Washington taking that series 4-2. And if you're wondering about the series score in the Dallas Wild series, the Stars are up 3-2. So Dallas can close out Minnesota today. Fighting for their life, the Minnesota Wild, who gave the Hawks some trouble this year. Actually, a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Both of those teams did. It's the Beat at 720 WGM.
What in the why?
Chicago sports spoken here.
What in the sports is going on here?
This is the Beat.
Well, we got the Blackhawks' next opponent, or maybe the Blues' next opponent, depending on who wins Game 7 on Monday night, because the Dallas Stars just finished off the Minnesota Wild in maybe the most well-timed ending to a playoff series, I'd say, in terms of our show, and be able to watch it during a newscast. The Minnesota Wild were just like a millimeter away from tying the game with 30 seconds left. The puck was almost completely over the red line, didn't quite get there. It was incredible.
After being down 5-0 and scoring 4 goals in the third period. So great effort there by Minnesota, but not to be. Patrick Sharp, you remember him, former Blackhawk, a goal and an assist for the Stars today.
He's a good player. We knew that when he left here. But
third goal in the series, too.
The cap era. Well, our next guest is, he hails from Minnesota. And he's actually coming on the show to talk about Tom Thibodeau. However, I have a feeling, Jerry Zagoda, were you watching the end of this game here?
I just watched them shaking hands as they go off here, yeah.
I mean, that's about as close as it gets. I imagine.
Yeah, that was just a fraction from everyone here thought it was over, but you could see it didn't quite make it, so.
Jerry, you cover the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you, at least in some people's minds, certainly around here, you hit the lottery this week, 5-year deal, $40 million for Tom Thibodeau, who could have gone to a lot of places in the NBA, but he goes to Minnesota and he gets to be the president as well of basketball operations, hiring his buddy to be the general manager, Scott Layden. Does it feel different in Minnesota right now that the franchise is on a whole nother level? Because this guy is a proven winner and you've got a ton of talent.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the fact that, you know, that it was very unlike Glenn Taylor, the owner, who's been accused of kind of running the country club here, of recycling, you know, the Kevin McHales and keeping guys on forever, that he went out and in a week did something as decisively as getting Thibodeau and then hiring Scott Layden as well. So the fact that, you know, they announced basically as soon as the season was over, you know, an hour after the final game was played, that he was going to go out and look for not just a coach, but a president of basketball operations too. And to have it concluded so quickly before anybody else could, you know, before the Lakers did anything or the Knicks did anything, you know, in both those markets, they think it's their divine right to get the best coach. And that he came to little old Minnesota, I think, has people here excited. And it's kind of a cool story because I covered the team way back when. And I remember when Tom drove into town 30 years old, basically with all his stuff in his car for his first NBA job, which was here for the first two seasons under Bill Musselman. And come back 27 years later at $8 million per, you know, I knew him when he had hair and he had a huge mullet, and it was, and to see him now, it's, and I talked to him the other day, and, you know, it's just kind of, it's kind of a neat story, him coming back.
He looked like Tom Cruise in his prime back in the day,
the
flowing hair.
He looked,
it was like Top Gun.
Jerry, you know, here in Chicago, Bulls fans, I mean, I know for myself, I was upset when Tom Thibodeau left, but, you know, things have to change.
Got
fired. You know, when you think about what's going on long term, especially here in Chicago, people always talked about the minutes and running some of these young guys. You do have a young team. Any worries about running some of these young guys into the ground?
I think about it, there probably is some concern. We'll see. I mean, he has a little bit of, or a lot of muscleman in him in that regard. I mean, last year those guys, you know, basically said play us when Sam Mitchell was a coach, play us as much as you want, but you have to be worried about that. And he, you know, Glenn Taylor asked him that in the interview, and his basic answer was dig a little deeper, go talk to my players, see what they say. And when I talked to him the other day, he called it more myth than reality. He says lots of teams play their guys a lot. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, and the other thing is people wonder how is he's going to be with a young team, thinking that, you know, the Bulls have always been a bunch of graybeards, but people don't remember that, or at least here they don't, that, you know, Rose was 22 and Noah was 25 when he took over there. So I think he's, you know, he's used to coaching young guys, and he's used to, I mean, he's developed all kinds of guys. Yeah, I had forgotten, or maybe I didn't even know this, but going back and doing my research, that when he was an assistant coach at Philadelphia, some teenager wanted him to help him with his game, and that kid was Kobe Bryant, that he even did that when he was with the Sixers. And I talked to the other day, a guy who became the Secretary of Education, who played for him when he was an assistant at Harvard, and he credits Thibodeau for getting him into a pro career for 4 years in Australia. So he's developed all sorts of people, and we'll see what he does with the guys who have a ton of talent, and Towns and Wiggins and Levine.
And I think it should be pointed out that the Bulls were even more banged up this year than in the years under Tom Thibodeau when everyone was complaining about him running into the ground. So I think even now people don't know how accurate that accusation actually was. Jerry, I was up in Minnesota a couple weeks ago. I have some family up there, and this was kind of in the middle of what are the Wolves going to even do here? I saw a couple stories written in the paper about Sam Mitchell even possibly keeping the job. At least there was a case being made for that. However, I think when you see the money that was thrown out here and the way the Timberwolves actually went about this, that was probably never much of a real possibility. Is that an accurate way of looking at it?
Yeah, I think people looked and said, oh, you know, how they finished down the stretch, they had some really good wins. I mean, last month they won at Oklahoma City, they won at Golden State after Golden State had, you know, not lost in 14, 15 months and had just lost to Boston. They won it against the Clippers in February, and some people thought, well, how can you fire him? But I think Glenn Taylor made up his mind some time ago. You know, he did what he had to do to get through the season after they found out in September that Flip Saunders' health had turned badly and unexpectedly. So he did what he had to do in hiring Mitchell for interim and expanding Milt Newton's duties. But I think somewhere deep in the winter, he had decided that was only temporary and he needed to do what he needed to do, which is, you know, with this young talent, with the salary cap going way up and all the money that's going to be coming into the league with the new TV contract, you know, $8 million for a coach. He's never been a guy to really go out and spend big, but I think with all those things coming that he felt comfortable doing that, and he went and got the guy he thought was the best. And that's interesting because I talked to Taylor the other day for a Q&A, and I asked him, you know, how much your search, because they did this 2 years ago when they hired Flip, and then Rick Adelman retired. They were looking for a coach before Flip kind of talked himself into the job and signed himself. I said, how much of it was colored by what Flip had told you about guys he liked? And he said a good bit of it, you know, that he remembered everything Flip said. So obviously, guys like Thibodeau and Jeff Van Gundy were high on Flip's list 2 years ago when they went looking for a coach and ended up keeping Flip on for another year.
Great Jerry Zagoda has been covering the Timberwolves for a long time for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, joining us here on 720 WGN. So, all right, you got young Andrew Wiggins, and you got young Karl Anthony Towns, and you've got a Zach LaVine, who, by the way, could have been a bull had they not picked Doug McDermott, who I wanted them to take just because he was a ridiculous athlete and could shoot the basketball. That's neither here nor there, Jerry. I want to know if these guys are going to want to work. Do you look at Andrew Wiggins as a guy who's going to go to Tom Thibodeau, just like Kobe Bryant did, which you mentioned a little bit back, and say, hey, make me as good as you can make me?
Well, Wiggins is the one guy that you got to look at and see. You don't know what his fire is. I mean, Towns has it, I think. LaVine clearly has it. He's just a gym rat and is in it all the time. Wiggins, we don't. It's sort of the same knock against him at Kansas. You know, does he want to be great? He has all the talent to be great. And when he plays games when he's motivated, when he plays the Cleveland team that traded him, he plays LeBron, and I got to go back and look, but I think actually I was on a radio show and I think they looked it up while we were talking, but I wanted to see what his numbers were during nationally televised games. And I think he averaged like 25 and a half or something, but when he's motivated, you know, he's 21 years old. So, you know, hopefully he learns how to play hard, but that's the one question about him. Does he have the fire to be great and put in the time? And we'll find that out with Thibodeau, because if he doesn't, we'll see what his future is, because Tibbs has got the 5-year $40 million contract, so he's at least got a little weight there, so we'll see. But I mean, a guy like Towns, you can tell, you know, wants to be a champion, and it'll be interesting to see how they adapt to this guy. You know, they played better and they played harder under Sam as the season went on, but I don't think they've seen anybody quite like this in terms of intensity and commitment yet.
When did that question about Wiggins start?
Well, I think it started, well, in Kansas. I mean, that was one of the reasons there was a debate. You know, I think when he came into the college, people thought he was number one, and then by the end of the year, it was a debate whether it was him or Parker. and they just didn't see that he played hard. And I think those are sort of still the same questions. He certainly has talent. Now the question is whether he can do it every night. And I mean, part of it is there is a high standard, a high bar for him, because the guy improved his scoring average, I think, 3 or 4 points this year, up to over 20, which is pretty hard to do in the second year, and yet people aren't satisfied with it. So there are great expectations for him. So, I mean, he still had a pretty good year, but people see the nights when he scores 33 and is the best player on the floor and want that every night. And, you know, maybe that happens by the time he's 23 or 24, but I guess it's you know, it's hard for a 20-year-old to do.
Sounds like 21-year-old. Sounds like he needs himself from Tom Thibodeau, Jerry. You're going to
get ready for the weirdness.
Here it comes, baby.
He's a great coach, though. Well,
we're fans.
Yeah, it was fun. I never really, you know, I knew him way back when, but never got a chance to talk to him on a daily basis. So we'll see how it is now that he sees my face 3 times a day.
Yeah, he's just a little weird, but good coach.
I love Tibbs.
That's how I would describe it.
Pro Tibbs.
All right, Jerry Zagota, Minneapolis Star Tribune. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Great hire. I think it's a great hire.
It's going to be huge.
There's one comment from Jerry's piece that I think is a little bit of a shot, not at the entire Bulls organization, but I think at the general manager. He's talking about Glenn Taylor, he's talking about Scott Layden. Tibbs is talking about. Tibbs is talking about Scott Layden, who he once worked with in New York. That's going to be his general manager. And I think a lot of this is going to – I think you'll see more and more of this in the NBA, where the coach is kind of the president. And the GM is there to work with him, but underneath him.
Yeah, like his assistant.
Right. He terms it a partnership with the man he calls, quote, one of my closest friends. And then here's Tibbs' quote. The person I'm with, I trust Scott. He has great integrity. He's a great worker, and he has great
experience. Well, if that is sort of a subtle blow at the Bulls management, don't you think it's completely 100% fair?
Yes, it is.
Tibbs isn't completely blameless in all this.
It goes up higher than him.
There's some
we can see it right now.
Madmen working in that.
We know what's going on. There's some stuff going on in that organization needs to be cleaned up.
My understanding is that Tibbs' his relationship with John Paxson was fine, but with the general manager, not as fine.
Okay.
That's
I trust you.
That's my
understanding. You're Mr. Bull. You're Mr. Bull, Mark Carmen. Hey, when we come back, JP told me a story during a break a couple minutes ago that I want to bring to the air because I think it's hilarious.
All right.
Classic NFL. Hey, weekday mornings from 4 to 10, it has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News is Chicago's must-watch morning news. This is The Beat. It's 720 WGN. JP's Snapchatting here during the break.
Is that the Deftones right there?
Yes, it is.
Deftones? Yeah. You didn't think I would know that, huh?
That's our new producer, Dan Long, doing a great job so far this weekend, taking over from Mike Jacobson, who's on the Bigger and Better Things with the Steve Cochran Show.
I want to know what Dan Long does on his downtime as far as the music he listens to, because I think we just scratched the surface right there. I think there's a lot deeper, darker, louder. Am I right? Am I getting any work here, Dan?
Actually, I'm pretty much across the board in terms of music. Actually, who actually turned me on to the Deftones was Judd Surratt.
Is that right?
Wow.
Well, Judd's definitely going to some.
I didn't know Judd would like the Deftones. That's what I work out to.
That is a shocking revelation to Judd Surratt's musical collection. I see Adam Hogue rocking like a Nirvana. No? What do you got over there?
I'm all over the place. First and foremost, I love classic rock. Like, give me Led Zeppelin, give me Pink Floyd, give me the Stones, give me the Eagles, give me the Doors.
It's all fair.
That's first and foremost. But otherwise, like, I actually have gotten into country music a little bit in the last 5 years, which was weird because I like couldn't stand it for most of my life.
I like country.
Me too.
Alan Jackson.
I like new country.
Chris Stapleton right now?
Yeah, Chris Stapleton's real.
That album is ridiculous.
Jason Aldean, you know, really kind of got me on. So, you know, it's just, I listen to everything. A little bit of that. A little Dave Matthews. Been to 19 Dave Matthews concerts.
Have you really?
Wow. Yes. I've been to one.
311's one of my favorite bands of all time. Got me into, like, hip-hop and rock. And got to love them. Love the Deftones as well.
Who's the number one Who's the one seed for Jared Payton?
If I'm listening, I got to turn on somebody. It's right now. It's Drake. I listen to Drake probably more than anybody.
What about you, Mark Carmen? For me, it's Led Zeppelin.
Number one seed's Dire Straits / Mark Knopfler, the greatest. But I'm really into
Salt in the Swing.
I'm really into my guy Griffin House, who was just in. But that's not. I can't put up with the number one seed. I
listen to a lot of Sam Hunt right now too. So let you know.
Don't know who that is.
Country.
Okay.
Hey, so during a break a few minutes ago, Jared Payton told me the story. The NFL sent him an email. Yeah. You got to tell the listeners.
So, you know, the family's got a huge relationship with the NFL, with the Man of the Year award that we give away every single year. So they were reaching out to me with the draft coming to Chicago again. They wanted to send me a jersey.
Greg Aiello, who's sending this email?
I didn't look at the email.
It could not have been Greg when you hear the story.
Okay.
So sent me the email, and they said, listen, we would love to send you a jersey, and you can wear it. We would love for you to wear it on your TV show, Sports Feed, and just, you know, promote that the draft's going to be in Chicago.
Okay.
What's your favorite team?
No.
Yes.
Come on.
What's your favorite team?
Come on.
Jared Payton.
Now, if you go to NFLShop.com and you try to make a 34 Payton jersey, it won't let you do it.
Really?
Yes.
Why not?
So where can you buy those?
They're not. They don't. I don't think they make the Nike ones, if I'm mistaken.
Can
they don't
you still
do
buy
retired,
them?
Yeah, like Mitchell and S and some of these other ones. There's a lot of fake ones out there as well, too. So you got to be careful what you're buying, but. Yeah, it's weird. You can't make it. I think you can buy them. You can buy them online though.
Wow,
that's amazing. What's your favorite team? You should have wrote back the Packers.
I couldn't even do that.
I told
you guys that. There's no way.
So that's got to be like
send me a Billy Sims line.
That was jersey. like what someone who you probably have talked to in the NFL offices that
maybe
you know.
Not.
No. But saying hey to his assistant, hey, can you send this email off to Jared Payton for me? And then, like, she just, like, that's, like, a standard question she probably asked people and didn't really, maybe she didn't know who you were or something like that. Hey, did you see what Miles Jack said to Pat Finley in the Chicago Tribune?
No.
About he took a visit to Hallis Hall. Miles Jack is the linebacker. I'm telling listeners, the linebacker from UCLA. And he took a visit to Hallis Hall. And your father they have, like, a locker set up, like, in the lobby there at Hallis Hall. And they asked him, you can put your stuff in the locker because it's kind of a place they use for guests to come in.
Yeah, you see people's stuff there when you're walking by.
And he refused to do it. He's like, he had too much respect for your dad that he didn't even want to put his stuff in his locker.
Draft that man. Get him here.
Miles Jack.
I'm going to tweet him real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet him and just say much respect.
Yeah, no, it was a cool story. It was in the Sun-Times. Pat Finley, who, by the way, is going to join me on Intentional Grounding tomorrow right here in this studio, WGNRadio.com.
Along with Eric Adholm and Adam Hogue and Adam Johns.
That's right. We're
giving away draft tickets very soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
We have one more person to qualify, and then we're going to give away the tickets to whoever knows something about these prospects. I hope our qualifiers have been paying attention. I tried to make the questions easy, but
I hope you did.
I probably should not have been the one making the questions, Mark Carmen, because I've spent the last 4 months studying up on these guys. So something in my brain that I think is easy might not really be easy.
If it runs amok, I've got plenty of questions off the top of my head that people will know.
All right. That's why you're here. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton. We're here till 6 o'clock. We have a news break coming up. It's 720 WGN.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to the 1983 National Football League draft.
And with the first round pick,
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick,
Dan Marino,
Gruden. NFL draft.
And with the first round pick, Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought the show was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the NFL draft.
Good young players with the draft all back.
You're in and you're out.
Welcome back to the draft.
WGN Draft Fever gonna be kicking this week. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton. We got 25 minutes more of the beat for you. Brian Noonan warming up in the bullpen. I had an enjoyable time with Brian out at the United Center this week, and It's kind of sad. We're not in the same studio. We can't hug Brian today. That's going to be a challenge.
So Brian's going to be back downstairs?
As far as I know.
Okay.
So we may not see Brian. We're about to do something.
That's going to ruin my Sunday. Not going to lie.
Right. Just to get you caught up on all the sports before we get into our NFL draft contest right now, the Cubs shellacked the Cincinnati Reds today 9-0 as they take 2 of 3 in the series. The White Sox beat the Rangers 4-1. The Dallas Stars over the Minnesota Wild. So if the Blackhawks win tomorrow night, pregame at 7 o'clock right here on 720 WGN, they will face the Stars. And then Steph Curry, NBA fans, sprained his right knee banging onto the court. The Warriors beat the Rockets, but Steph had to leave the game, did not return. So a lot of stuff going on today.
Okay, so I mentioned that we have one more spot open to qualify for this pair of NFL draft tickets. I have even better news. We actually have a couple spots available.
Oh, my!
Because one of our qualifiers from yesterday, I guess, decided that he he didn't think that he had the knowledge bring it.
I'm going to have to call you out on something right now.
What?
That is like the fifth time that his mic hasn't
been
on.
Okay.
I'm the worst person ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're calling me out?
And I get killed for it, but you have reached my level of badness today. You are riding.
Wow.
You have.
It's okay, Hope.
It's okay. I just want it on the level.
Also, that one, no one heard it. That one, no I could have gotten it. By. But you called me out.
Which
I deserve.
You deserved it.
I deserved it.
I mean, I let it go all
day.
Because you always kill me for it. And today, you've been as bad as me. You've been as bad as me.
Yeah. All right.
Now, I'm sorry. Back to
312-981-7200 will qualify you right now to win a pair of tickets to the NFL draft this Thursday. You got to be able to go. It's at the Auditorium Theater right here in downtown Chicago. So call in right now and you have a chance to qualify for these tickets. You must know a little bit about these prospects, though, and former Bears draft picks. That's how we're doing this. We're going to ask you questions right now, and whoever gets the most right gets the tickets.
312.
Seems fair?
Sure. Absolutely, it seems fair. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join the game.
All right.
The Adam Hogue Bears draft special. There are two tickets on the line. The Auditorium Theater, super cool.
It was awesome event last year.
Whoever wins these tickets, I recommend you take the full tour, right? You go all the way to the top. You just go all over the place. It's really a very interesting building.
Okay, 312-981-7200. We're going to start right now with our guy, Ron, in Denver. Ron is in Denver. He qualified earlier in today's show. He's a listener of Intentional Grounding, and Ron says he is going to get here Friday. Or Thursday. It's Thursday.
Wait, hold on. Let's vet Ron. How are you going to get here, Ron?
I have a 6:15 a.m. flight, a noon flight, and a 3:30 flight, depending on whether I'm going to the actual draft.
He's already set it up. He's done his homework.
Southwest is wonderful.
I was just going to say, you're a Southwest guy. I love Southwest.
I love it.
Great destination if you're going to Denver.
Yes.
Southwest will take you
or
anywhere,
Tennessee.
Baby.
Tennessee.
I've been to Denver one time. That's when I flew. Okay. So here's how this works, Ron, and the rest of our contestants on hold, you should be listening to. There's three questions we're going to ask you here to start with, all right?
Okay.
The first one is going to be about current prospects, and it's going to be easier. This is going to get harder as we go along. So your first question is going to be the easiest. I'm going to include the school name that they played at. So it's going to be one of the easier questions. Your second question is going to be about past Chicago Bears draft picks. Okay. And then your third question is going to also be about current prospects in this year's draft, but I'm not going to give you the school. So it's going to be a little bit harder to figure out. And whoever gets the most right wins the tickets. If we need a tiebreaker, I have tiebreaker questions ready. Okay. And this is The Beat. Adam Hogue, Mark Carman, Jared Payton here giving a pair of tickets away to Thursday's NFL draft right here in downtown Chicago. Your first question, Ron.
No pressure, Ron. You've got this.
This quarterback threw for over 12,000 yards at Cal before leaving a year early for the NFL draft.
Jared Goff.
That is right. Okay, I told you.
Ron, if you had missed that one, we would have disqualified you.
You might have hung up. Just letting you know.
All right, your second question. This is past Chicago Bears draft picks.
Can I ask the second question?
Yeah, do you have it in front of you?
Yes, I got it. What is the major issue? What is the major concern about Jared Goff? There's one.
That is not the question.
Okay, that's my
question.
Get out of here. Do you know the answer to that?
That could be a tiebreaker.
Okay, that's a great tiebreaker question.
Ron, here's your real question. This second round pick played his college ball for the Green Wave in New Orleans.
Matt Forte.
Matt Forte is correct.
Wow. Love it.
Wow.
Ron's got it first.
I'm a football fan.
All right. I mean, we like it.
Guy's
we like it.
Three separate airline tickets. He's got to know what he's doing here.
One other guy backed out because he didn't think he could do it. Ron's bringing the confidence.
I have a fourth ticket for Wednesday night just in case, too.
Wow, Ron.
He's ready to go. He wants this. I like the enthusiasm.
I came last year as well. And
okay.
I've been to the Super Bowl weeks doing the same kind of thing just for the festival and the events.
Throw Ron the toughest question you got. Make him earn it.
Well, this one's going to be a little bit harder. Okay. This prospect has a brother currently on the Chicago Bears and also two other brothers who have played in the NFL.
Oh, got this one.
Ooh, is it a top? Can I ask the question if it's a top prospect or?
No, I told you these search ones are going to be harder. This prospect has a brother currently on the Chicago Bears and two other brothers who have played in the NFL.
Do, 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 do. What do you got, Ron?
I'm thinking Philip Rivers' brother, but then I know that's not someone on the Bears.
Ron in 5, in 4, in 3, in 2. What's your best guess, Ron?
I got it.
I don't know.
Okay, Jared, do you know it?
I don't know is incorrect.
So, is it Kyle Fuller?
Kyle Fuller is his brother. The prospect's name is Kendall Fuller.
Kendall Fuller, my bad.
Ron, you're in there. Hang on, pal.
What about Will Fuller?
That is a different brother. His name is Fuller, but it's not related to Kyle.
You get credit for knowing Will Fuller, but not quite.
All right, Rod, stay on hold. Stay on hold. We might need you for a tiebreaker. You may still be the winner with two. We'll find out, so stay on hold. There's Ron in Denver, our first contestant here, trying to win these NFL draft tickets.
It's a high-level contestant right there. I love what Ron just brought to the table.
We go a little bit more locally to Palatine now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Mike, you ready to go? You understand the rules from listening to Ron?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's your first question. A current prospect
for Mike's energy.
This year's draft. This running back had a career yards per carry average of 6.7. That's pretty darn good. At the Ohio State University.
Ezekiel Elliott?
Ezekiel Elliott is the correct answer.
Bam. Wouldn't mind if he slipped to the Bears. Go ahead.
All right, your second question. Again, this is past Chicago Bears draft picks now in this category. This former Wisconsin Badger was drafted 29th overall and only played in 18 games as a Bear.
Oh, when did he play? I mean, you guys can't tell me that.
I'm not giving that. Your clues are all in the question. This former Wisconsin Badger was drafted 29th overall and only played in 18 games as a Bear.
Is it Gabe Cabrini? Gabe Karimi, the offensive lineman.
Gabe Karimi, I'm going to let you guys decide if he was close enough.
Come on, close enough.
I'm going to give it to him.
Yes, Gabe Cabrini-Green. You got it.
Gabe Karimi, we'll give it to you. You were on the right track there. All right, third question. This prospect played the super back position for a Purple University in Illinois.
Got to have it. But that question's 10 times easier than Ron's question.
And
he played in Northwestern.
He's been a guest on the beat.
Just follow me on Twitter.
You're asking who the Northwestern fullback is?
Well, we might be. I don't know.
I can't think of it right now.
Dates Chris Chelios' daughter. You should need to listen to the show more, Mike. We love you.
All right, so you don't have the answer? That's all right, Jared Payton, you know it?
Dan Vitale.
Dan Vitale is the correct answer. All right, Mike.
We're tied at
Mike,
two.
Mike, stay on hold. You're still in you're in the clubhouse.
You're in the mix, Mike.
Might need a tiebreaker between Ron and Mike. Also might need to speed this up a little bit.
Very weird to look on the TV here that Adam Hoge is on Sports Feed right now, even though Sports Feed is not actually on right now.
That is creepy.
There you are, buddy.
Just do a quick little wave there. All right, Bob. Bob in Lake Barrington, you are our next contestant. You ready to go, Bob?
Come on, Bob.
Yes, I am. All right, thanks for letting me play.
Absolutely. All right, here's your first question. This quarterback is a ridiculous 6'7" tall and played at the University of Memphis.
Paxton Lynch.
Bam.
Paxton Lynch is the correct answer. All right, your second question. Again, Bears draft picks now. The Bears took this offensive lineman 20th overall. Despite the fact that he only started 10 games at the FBS level.
Come on.
Three.
I'll read it one more time. The Bears took this offensive lineman, 20th overall, despite the fact that he only started 10 games at the FBS level in college.
My boy, my boy along, University of Oregon.
That's right.
You Yes, we were worried about you.
He came through. He got it. All right, and your third question. This quarterback played in the Big Ten and was sacked over 100 times in his college career.
I'm going to think Christian Hackenberg.
He got it.
I was going to go Hackenberg, too.
Bob's got it. Bob, stay on hold. Bob is in the lead.
Oh, you just killed. I feel bad for Ron.
Ron wanted him so bad.
Ron's got four airplanes. Ron,
Carmen feels you, baby.
I just want to let you know that I feel you, and if I could do anything to get you in, I would do it, but I can't because I'm Mark Carmen, and I'm not, you know, that's just the way it is. If anybody can get you in.
No, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.
I appreciate it. Good questions, really good questions.
Thank you. Thanks, appreciate it, Ron. God, I think so far this has been pretty even.
What a great man Ron is.
Ron's a great guy.
All right.
Here's the deal.
We have to take a break. We'll finish this up after the break. We still got two more contestants. Jesus and Matt, you're on hold. You have a chance. You're going to have to tie Bob, though, to get all three questions right and then beat him in the tiebreaker. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Back here on The Beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton, here with you till 6 o'clock.
Your questions have been good, man.
I'm trying to also inform the listener right now.
I like that.
Learn a little something about these prospects. I think they've been fair. I'm a little biased, though, since I did write the questions.
How long did it take you to get all these questions?
15 minutes. I should know these. I'm not expecting the listeners to know these, but I've been spending enough time the last few months to do this. All right, so here's the deal. Bob is in the clubhouse right now. He got all three questions correct. Bob and Lake Barrington trying to win a pair of NFL draft tickets that we're giving away right here on The Beat today. And we had two more contestants. One of them dropped off. So Matt in Chicago is going to be our last contestant here. Matt in Chicago, you are on 720 WGN. You ready to go here, Matt?
I'm ready to go. Thank you.
All right. So you're going to have to get all three of these right. Otherwise, Bob is headed to the NFL draft. Here you go, Matt. First question. This linebacker played at Notre Dame and was a projected top five pick before suffering a devastating knee injury.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man. You know this.
I was going to say Ragland.
He went to Alabama.
Yeah, that's not right. Jalen.
Oh!
Come on, I should know this.
Talk it out. It's like Wheel of Fortune. Talk it out.
Jalen Smith?
Dang, he got it. Little suspicious, though.
Little suspicious on that one.
Because he Googled it.
Yeah, you got to give it to him.
All right. Here's your next question. This former 19th overall pick played linebacker in college and struggled when the Bears tried to play him at defensive end.
I'm going to go with Jay McClellan.
That is correct. That is correct.
Good.
All right, your final question here.
Oh boy.
This one's going to be a little bit harder.
This one's the hard one.
This wide receiver played his high school football locally at Crete Moni.
The only one I remember hearing about was Laquan Treadwell, so I'm going to go with him.
Ooh, he got it.
I'm interviewing him tomorrow, too.
He got it.
Good job.
The answer is correct. All right. Matt, stay on hold. You're going to be competing here with Bob, and we're going to give you some tiebreaker questions here. Hang on 1 second here.
Don't hang up on him.
I'm not going to hang up on him. I'm making sure I'm not doing that. All right. Hey, Bob.
Hey, I got a protest. The guy says Reggie Ragland, and then he's going on the computer looking for Smith. Come on.
I knew he was going to do that.
I knew you. Listen, that's the Lake Barrington in you, man. I know. I understand.
Are you serious? Come on, man. Where's the audit on this thing, all right?
You got this. Don't stress it.
You know your stuff.
Hey, I'm in the car. I'm driving. I don't really have a computer. You know, I don't have a journal in front of me. Come on. This is unbelievable. That's all I got to say.
All right, Bob. Would you rather have a question here on a current prospect or a former Bears prospect?
I don't know. Throw
I'm about.
Well, I just you get one question here.
All right, I'll go for the former Bear.
All right. This Bears wide receiver fell to the second round in 2012 because of concerns about his weight.
Alshon Jeffrey.
That's yes, right. Yes, all right, buddy. Bob. See, Bob, you got this.
Bob, you got this.
You're cool. You're cool. Hang on. Hang on. All right. I actually don't blame Bob, though. Bob, he kind of has a fair gripe.
Okay, but we have to have a time limit here.
Absolutely. All right. You ready to go here, Matt?
I am ready to go. I feel bad for Bob, too, but he'll probably win. So.
All right, here you go. This defensive end had five tackles for loss and three sacks in January's national championship game.
It's a guy from Clemson who the Bears talked about getting.
And we're going to give you – we're going to be tight on time here since we know you have a computer in front of you. Three.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Two. One.
Shaq Lawson.
It's not Shaq Lawson.
Shaq Lawson.
It's Kevin Dodd. Oh, yeah. Kevin Dodd was the one who showed up huge in the national championship game. Matt, we appreciate you playing.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man. Good effort.
Good effort, everybody.
Go, let's go.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Bob.
Bob.
Hey, the draft guys have spoken.
That's right. Hey, you knew your stuff, Bob. We had to just challenge you just a little bit more because you breezed through that first three questions so easily.
Hey, listen. You're from.
I've been a draft pick since 1963. Okay.
I've
been eating and sleeping this stuff.
Hey, Bob. What's the issue that I was referencing on Jared Goff? What's the big issue with him?
Durability. He has durability issues because he has a thin frame. He's also got some happy feet. Okay.
Can I give you the answer?
Yeah. What?
It's small hands.
He's got small hands, man.
Like Carm.
Not a big deal. Don't worry. Hey, Bob, stay on hold. We got to take a break, but you're headed to the NFL draft on Thursday. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Bob and Lake Barrington, our winner. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.